Actually, I was asked to speak on a particular topic, which is called devotee care.
本来呢，我被请求来讲的主题就是说照顾奉献者这个主题。
But I can speak about it in a more broad way as well.
当然，我这个也可以用很广泛的、比较广泛的方面来讲。
Because a devotee by nature is caring, not only just the devotees.
因为奉献者的本质就是会关心别人的，不是说他只是成为奉献者才会去关心别人。
In fact, we oftentimes, every day, once you call to the leadership, people seem to be able to, but it's not a problem. No patient, they do not even know. We offer our basis is the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord.
我们每天呢，就是说都在跟奉献者顶拜，请求他们的仁慈。
Because they are just like wish fulfilling desire trees and are full of compassion for all fallen souls.
因为呢，我们应该像和如愿树一样，对所有充满条件限制的这些堕落灵魂来怜悯。
Therefore, a Vaishnava is one who.Is caring for Vaishnavas, but also caring for all living beings.
所以呢，一个 Vaishnava 他本性就是去会去关心其他的 Vaishnava， 然后也会去关心其他的生物。
Nonetheless, we have in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have become also particularly focused on not just caring for all living beings, but making sure that we include devotees as well.
那我们基本上应该不只是照顾说所有其他的生物，还特别要去关心到其他的 Vaishnava 奉献者。
And therefore, this terminology, devotee care, is something that has become more often spoken about in our society.
因此呢，这个关于照顾奉献者、关心奉献者这个名词呢，在我们的协会变得更加广泛的被提到了。
And in fact, many years ago, I can't remember, maybe it was about 12 years ago, I had compiled a book entitled "Taking Care of Krishna's Devotees."
不知道大概多少年，也许12年前，我写了一本书，就是说啊，怎么样来照顾奉献者这个书。
And it was more or less based on my own realizations of this topic.
那基本上这是关于我在这个主题上的领悟。
And my original intention for putting together the book was specifically, it was just supposed to be written in Russian, not in any other language.
最开始呢，我把这个书写出来的时候呢，是用苏俄的苏联文写起来啊，就是特别是对那里的奉献者来写的。
Because I live most of the time in Russian-speaking countries.
因为我大部分的时间呢，住在这个苏联这个地区。
And the book was specifically put together for devotees who I was taking care of.
所以那个书里面本来的内容基本上就是在讲说我去照顾的那些奉献者为对象。
And I was trying to pass down this knowledge, my own realizations about devotee care to them so that they could continue the move.
所以我基本上呢就是说关于我照顾的这些奉献者的一些经验跟领悟呢，那我把它写出来，那希望他们可以去读到，然后也可以继续传承这些照顾奉献者的精神。
And then one of my god brothers somebody's crying And then one of my godbrothers was reading from the book. He said, why are you just producing in Russia? Why don't you produce it in English?
那我一个神修兄弟就跟我说，为什么你只是把它放成这个俄文，而不放出来翻译成其他的语言？
And I said, it wasn't really my intention to produce this book for a wide scale audience.
因为我本来的用意也不是说我要把它说广泛的去推广出来。
And he began arguing with me, saying that actually it was probably beneficial to produce it in English as well.
那那个林清兄弟就一直跟我争论啊，就是说你还是最好呢把它翻译成其他的语言。
And so therefore, it was published in also in English as well as Russian.
因此呢，这个缘故，他后来也翻译到编成英文版的。
And then unknown to me.Many other devotees were calling and inquiring if they could translate it into many other languages.
我不知道的情况下呢，很多奉献者在他们国家就把它翻译成他们那边的语言了。
I lost track. I don't know because it's many languages. Devotees produce the book.
所以我后来根本也不清楚到底是哪一些国家的语言了，因为很多奉献者他们真的把它翻译出来，然后把它印到他们自己的语言版本。
But even over the years, I'm not so sure people are so eager to produce the book because of the content of the book as much as the title.
我不知道奉献者是这么急切的，是多少关心到这本书啊。就是说它里面的内容搞不好翻译的版本呢比它讲的内容还多。
Because the title is definitely something that is very catchy and people think, wow, this is revolutionary.
那这个书的标题呢一定让人觉得印象非常的强烈，因为就像革命性的那种感觉。
And that wasn't my intention either, to produce a revolutionary title that would interest people.
当然我本来的用意也不是说我要做什么改革啦，革命性的动机，让别人觉得印象深刻啦，或是我有什么新的改变方法什么的。
But as a result, I don't know how many thousands of copies have been published and printed, but it's actually been pretty widely distributed.
那这个结果呢，就是说我自己也不清楚到底有几千本这个书，然后已经所以派发到这个各个国家的奉献者手上。
And the reason why I'm even mentioning this at all is because where I go places, people generally would ask me to speak about devotee care.
我为什么会提到这件事呢？是因为我现在去到什么地方了，几乎那边的每一个地方奉献者都会叫我来讲述一下怎么照顾奉献者。
As if I'm some kind of big authority on the topic.
好像我是这一方面的权威一样。
And I just don't.I consider myself to be a big authority on devotee care.
我自己根本不会认为我是说照顾奉献者的权威。
Although there is one thing I've learned in my 43 years of practicing in Krishna consciousness.
虽然呢，我在练习 Krishna 知觉的43年之间有一些所谓觉悟经验。
And that is that I do care about devotees.
那个领悟就是我是真的关心奉献者。
And therefore, I just naturally speak on this topic.
因此说，我就会自然呢会讲到这方面的。
Because having practiced Krishna consciousness for 43 years, I've seen many people come to Krishna consciousness, and I've also seen people leave.
因为我在 Krishna 知觉里面43年了，我事实上也看到奉献者真的在所谓实践练习奉献服务，但是呢，这之间也有人走掉了。
And I've tried to analyze from many different angles of vision the different reasons why people would come to something so high, so elevated, and so meaningful as.Krishna consciousness, and then at some point in their life, decide to take to another path of life.
看到这些现象呢，我就自己去思想、去思考，然后再去分析，为什么有些人一直那么用心的在练习这个程序，可是为什么到某一个点的时候，他会放弃、会走掉
？And there are many reasons for this. It's to give One reason for it is, would be very simplistic.
那就是本来拥抱这么崇高的理想，那后来走掉，那我就去分析。当然里面有很多的理由原因，但是也可以简化，也是一个共同点，一个原因。
But my realization is that Krishna consciousness has something very genuine to offer to anybody who is a sincere spiritual seeker.
那Krishna 知觉呢，对于那些真正在练习奉献服务的人，是有真正可以给他们一些实际的东西。
And what attracted me to Krishna consciousness, one phrase that really captured my mind.Was Krishna consciousness was always presented as a positive alternative.
那有一句话对我来讲呢，什么吸引了我留在吸引了我在 Krishna 知觉，就是说 Krishna 知觉呢是一个人们可以选择一个正面的一个另外一个选择的方式。
And this phrase was very catchy for somebody who grew up in the hippie culture.
那这句话对于所谓在这个这个嬉皮文化的背景出来的人呢，会觉得是很有吸引力的。
Which is the culture I grew up in the 1960s.
那这种嬉皮的文化呢，是像我那时候在60年代成长的背景。
Because the 1960s in America, was a place where people were definitely looking for alternatives.
因为在美国60年代呢，那些年轻人基本上也是在选择另外一种生活的方式，想要做另外一些选择。
We were often referred to as a counterculture.
我们有时候会选择一些所谓对象的冲击性的文化。
Because we didn't want to follow the path that had been chalked out for us by our forefathers.
因为我们不想去跟随我们先前这几辈的祖先所做的事。
And we were very eager to find an alternative way to live.
我们不愿意跟随他们那些让他们觉得他们被掐死的感觉，但是我们也想找一个好的选择的方法。
Both in peace and in harmony with each other and in harmony with nature.
想要找一个方式呢，就是说跟自己更和谐，跟别人更和谐，跟大自然更和谐的这个生活方式。
So yes, I was a hippie.
所以我过去是一个嬉皮。
But many people were hippies in the 60s.
但是六零年代很多人都是嬉皮。
And in fact, it was the hippies that Srila Prabhupada was most successful in bringing to Krishna consciousness.
那事实上呢？这个巴布巴在奎山知觉里面带领成功的这些人士呢，大部分也是嬉皮背景出来的。
And even I, this is a side note, but I think it's relevant. I'll speak about it.
当然这是侧面的话啦，但是我同时也会拿来提。
Last year, I became very inspired to read all the books that were about Srila Prabhupada.
去年我有一个很大的灵感呢，就想要把所有普拉的书都读起来。
And I read the whole Prabhupada, six volumes of Prabhupada Lilamrita. I read Miracle on Second Avenue by Mukunda Goswami, and I read, I think maybe about 15 different books about Prabhupada last year.
所以呢，去年呢，我就把普拉的传记了，就是说。Sasrudra Das Goswami 写的那六本都把它看完了，还有 Prabhupada 在美国的跟这个 Mukunda 这些过去的这些过程啊，他都读了、啊，所以他从前前后后大概15本书都是关于 Prabhupada 的。
I do that sometimes. Sometimes I just focus on a particular topic and just dedicate practically a whole year to that topic.
所以我有时候会这样做，我有时候会找一个主题，然后读这方面的所有的书，然后。当作那一年的主题。
Some years ago was my year for focusing on the holy name, and I read many, many, many different books about the holy name, Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and I lectured practically the whole year just exclusively on the topic of the holy name.
像有一年呢，我的灵感是想要在关于念诵圣名的事，那我那整年几乎把所有关于圣名的这些经典啊、引述啦、啊、书籍啊，都专注都拿出来看，这样子。
So last year was Prabhupada. the year of Prabhupada for me.
所以去年对我来讲是 Prabhupada 的这一些点滴的年代。
And I was cross-referencing from all the different books I was reading about Prabhupada about the early days.
所以呢，我就很多本书都有看着，然后就互相的这样对来对去的看。那特别是 Prabhupada 在早期的时候。
Because I didn't start coming to Krishna consciousness until 1972.
啊，因为我到了1972年才真正进入 Krishna 知觉。
And the early days, I'm talking about 1966, 1967. Those early years when Srila Prabhupada specifically first came to America and planted the seed of Krishna consciousness in the West.
所以呢，在那个早期呢，我就是指 Prabhupada 在1968年、1967年那一段时间呢，像我们都还没有接触 Krishna 知觉那段时候。
And I was noting a general consistency in the experiences of the early devotees.
所以我就去无意中去注意到那些很早期的奉献者之间有一些相关性。
And many of them had come from the hippie culture.
那他们很多人的背景都是所谓嬉皮的。
They were attracted to Srila Prabhupada's teachings.
但是他们受到 Prabhupada 的教导所吸引。
But even more, they were attracted to Srila Prabhupada.
但是呢，除了 Prabhupada 的教导之外，他们更觉得 Prabhupada 本人更加的吸引人。
And not only did I read a lot about Prabhupada last year, but I also listened to a lot of the early 1966 lectures that he gave in New York.
所以去年我不只是就是专注 Prabhupada 早期的那段时间的书，而且我也听了就是找 Prabhupada 在1966年代啦，1967年代那很早期。
And one thing that really impressed me was that how Srila Prabhupada was speaking to the youth hippies whose inspiration in life was to reject authority.
那我觉得非常有意思的是，就是说在那个时候，嬉皮的观念，他们想要。跟权威对抗，要推翻权威的情况，阿波瓜怎么可以吸引这种人呢
？Because that's what hippie life meant. Don't accept any kind of authority.
所以这个嬉皮就是说，不要接受权威啊，不要管那些老一辈讲什么啦、啊、这些的。
Question authority was a big, you know.
所以呢，他们的满脑子就是想着怎么样去。推翻权威啊！不要去接受这些权威。
We were very rebellious against all forms of authority, whether it would be government authority, local authority, our parents, whatever it was, just rejected all kinds of authority.
那我们当时的风气就是说一种，就是反抗啊，反抗不管是国家方面的这种权威啦。社会上的权威，或者是我们自己父母这方面的权威，我们一概都是在反抗。
And in the midst of all this appears Srila Prabhupada.
那在一片反抗的思潮之中呢 ，Prabhupada 出现了。
Who speaks very authoritatively?
但是 Prabhupada 讲的话是那么权威性。
And is representing the supreme authority.
同时又他代表了至尊权威。
And every time he would speak, he was always speaking about Krishna's authority. How to accept the authority of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita.
那Prabhupada每一次一说都是我们要接受 Krishna 是权威，那国前梵哥是 Krishna 是 Krishna 的权威的代表，这一类都是至尊啊，至尊人格守神是至尊权威。
And not only is he speaking in an authoritative way, but he's saying, I'm representing.The highest authority. He would say, "I'm representing the highest authority."
那佛法不只是讲的非常很有权威的感觉，而且他说我是代表至尊人格守神，代表 Krishna 的这种正宗权威。
So I was marveling how to put these two things together: the highest authority and the culture, which was so much against authority.
所以我就一直在想呢，怎么从这两个极端，他怎么把它连接起来？一个是一个至尊绝对的权威，那另外一个是呢，完全要反对权威的这两个思维呢，怎么连接起来
？And how did these people actually come to accept Srila Prabhupada?
那
as an authority.
同时呢，这些人是怎么样的来到 Prabhupada 面前接受这些权威呢？
And not only accept them as authority, but to surrender their lives to him.
而且不只是接受这样的权威，而且看起来这些人不只接受，而且非常喜欢这样的权威。
And what I really found through my analysis of cross-referencing all from all the books and listening to all the devotees' testimony from the early years, what really tipped the scales, so to speak, and forced people to surrender. Was not that Srila Prabhupada was representing the highest authority.
那我就一直观察这些奉献者的情况呢，就是说他们怎么样呢？自己完全愿意投入接受这样的权威，不是由于 Prabhupada 所说的这样的教导。
It was not as much that as it was that he was just genuine.
所以呢，不是只是他说的，而是 Prabhupada 自己所代表他自己本人就是这样真实的。
That was it. They saw somebody who was genuine, the real thing.
他们就看到有一个人，就是指 Prabhupada 是这样，是真实的啊，说真话，做这样真理的事。
Somebody who walked his talk.
就是说他言行一致，不会说做跟说是两套的。
Somebody who would speak about so many topics in an authoritative way, but was always a perfect example of everything he spoke about.
就是这样的人呢，他把绝对真理说的是最完美的，同时他自己本身也是这真理的一个模范。
And because of his genuineness, many people became so captivated by his personality, they just wanted to do something for him.
因为 Prabhupada 本人是这么真实的、诚实、廉洁的。所以很多人受到他这个人格吸引，很自愿的想要为他做一些事。
And this was Srila Prabhupada's method of caring for devotees.
那这是 Prabhupada 就是说关心奉献者的方法。
It was his method for bringing people to devotional service and then caring for them.
也就是说，他这样自己言行一致的模范呢，吸引了奉献者，然后同时。把人带进来 Krishna 知觉
，because he had spiritual vision.
因为Prabhupada有灵性的眼光。
One who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things.
一个人呢，见到所有生物呢都是至尊主所属的部分，就像大火里面的小所属的小火花，这样的人呢，他已经见到绝对真理了。
What then can be illusion or anxiety for him?
对于这样见到绝对真理的人，有什么是假象、幻觉，或是有什么让他焦虑了？
Spiritual vision means to see all living entities as equal.
灵性的眼光就是去看到所有生物是灵性上的平等。
Nobody is my enemy. Nobody is my friend.
所以没有人是我的敌人，也没有人是我的朋友。
Everyone is an internal spiritual spark, part and parcel of Krishna.
每一个人，每个生物呢，都是 Krishna 永恒的所属的部分，就像大火的小火花。
This was Prabhupada's spiritual vision.
那这是 Prabhupada 的灵性的眼界。
He was Pandita Samadarshana. He saw all living beings as equal.
这是在婆伽梵歌的话，就是说，把所有生物视为同等。
And in fact, there is even.A story about Srila Prabhupada, I think it happened in Bombay.
事实上也有一个关于这个故事 Prabhupada 的情况在孟买的时候。
Srila Prabhupada was meeting with a group of people in a room.
Prabhupada 当时呢在一群人呢就是说在一个所谓一个房间这样跟他会面。
And Prabhupada was speaking very strongly about people who don't surrender to Krishna, that they are rascals.
而且 Prabhupada 就是跟往常一样非常强烈的说，那些不向 Krishna 臣服的人都是混蛋。
And one of the gentlemen in the room was objecting, Swamiji, why are you being speaking so strongly, so harshly? You're supposed to be Samadarshana.
那这在座的一位所谓绅士呢，就不太能接受。他问 Popa 说：“你应该是这样神圣的眼光呢，Samadarshana 就是你对所有生物应该是同等平等的看待。但是你为什么说那些人是混蛋
？”Samadarshana means you see everyone equally.
Samadarshana 就是说你对所有生物是平等的看待。
As Srila Prabhupada responded by saying, he said, "No, that's."That's a higher platform.
那爸爸回答说，哦，那个不是，那个是更高等的层次的时候。
He says, my position is that I should simply present what Krishna says, but I don't discriminate. I tell it to everyone.
爸爸说，我的地位呢，就是说我只是重复 Krishna 所说的，代表 Krishna 所说的，但是我不会去判断，去分辨。
That is my samadarshana.
这是我的所以我的灵性的平等的眼光。
I make no discrimination.
我对什么人都没有去分辨。
Therefore, I say what Krishna says to everyone, and I do not discriminate.
所以我就说 Krishna 所说的，然后我自己不会用自己的眼光去判断。
And Krishna says, "Avajana jimam mudha."
Krishna 就说啊，这样子啊。
Krishna says, those who do not surrender to me, they are rascals. So, and then the man was challenging, but Swamiji, but what do you say? Why don't you say something? Why do you always have to say what somebody else said?
这个用的就是一个说，你为什么总是要说别人说的？你为什么不说你自己的话呢？
And then Srila Prabhupada, of course, very strongly defended that this is our position. We stand on the strength, he says, of Krishna's words and of the words of our previous acharyas.
那Prabhupada还是很语气坚定说，这就是我们的地位。我们的地位呢，就是站在 Krishna 的这个线上呢去。执行我们的职务。
So Srila Prabhupada saw everyone equally.
所以 Prabhupada 是用平等的眼光看待所有生物。
Because he didn't discriminate, he would tell everybody about Krishna.
因为他不会去分辨你的背景，但是会把 Krishna 话直接对你说。
Because he understood that the potential for Krishna consciousness is there in every living being.
因为呢，他是看到呢，在所有生物里面是绝对有 Krishna 知觉的这种潜能。
And therefore, because Srila Prabhupada not only preached in this way, but he lived that way.
因为特别是呢 ，Prabhupada 不只是这样在传教，而且他自己在生活上的实践也是照这些原则实践的。
He was very caring.
Prabhupada 是非常关心人的。
He's very compassionate.
非常的怜悯同情。
He understood that he was dealing with people who are not.Ready to fully surrender to Krishna.
Papa 非常的清楚了解，他所面对的人是还没有准备好要来向 Krishna 臣服的人。
In fact, Prabhupada would oftentimes quote a verse by Rupa Goswami.
啊，事实上 ，Papa 常常引用 Rupa Goswami 所说的一句话。
Yena tena pakarina mana Krishna navesya. He says it is the duty of the spiritual master to somehow or other get his disciples to think of Krishna.
那就是说呢。不管怎么样，这是灵性导师的责任，就是说，不管怎么样，要用方法让他的门徒去想到记得 Krishna。
All the rules and regulations can come later。
那这一点最重要，那其他的规范守则可以后面再说。
This is what Prabhupada did。
这是 Prabhupada 所做的。
Even from the very beginning, in the early days, all the hippies they were coming into the storefront。
嗯，特别。即使在很早期的时候，这些嬉皮呢，都到美国他们聚会的那个店面门前。
And Prabhupada, his life was always just perfect example of Krishna consciousness.
那 Prabhupada 的一切言行总是这完美的 Krishna 知觉。
Mukunda Goswami, he tells in his book, Miracle on Second Avenue, he tells a story about when he went with Srila Prabhupada up to Dr. what's his name? The ashram,
Mishra.
Dr. Mishra's ashram.
那么昆达格斯瓦米在写的里面的那本书，就是说第二大道里面的奇迹里面说，泡巴早期到这个Mishra 医生的家里的那些情况。
This was very early days of the movement. Prabhupada hadn't even instituted yet chanting 16 rounds.
这是泡巴在创办这个协会很早期的时候，那时候甚至还没有要奉献，只要念16圈的时候。
But he tells a story of how when they were up at Dr. Mishra's ashram, all of a sudden he was woken up at 2:30 in the morning. Mukunda Goswami was woken up.
然后就是说，Prabhupada 在这个 Mishra 医生的家里的情况，有一天呢，这个 Mukunda Goswami 突然间早上两点半醒来。
And he heard in the next room, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 2:30 in the morning.
听着两点半也是一直在念呢，泡泡在隔壁念三点半四点半，那他就用这个毯子盖着耳朵想要睡觉呢，都一直没办法睡。
The Prabhupada hadn't even told anybody yet about chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna at the time.
那个时候呢，那些人进到接触泡泡，可是还没有说被要求念16圈。
He was doing it.
但是泡泡自己本身还是在做。
And gradually he started introducing.Certain rules to others.
那时间一渐渐演进的时候，帕鲁巴就开始对这些奉献者们呢来引进各这些规范守则。
The early devotees tell stories how Prabhupada one day he introduced the rule that now that everybody's been living here for so long, you should all take showers. 可是 hippies didn't take showers.
他一般嬉皮就是很邋遢，也不洗澡，所以他们那些人在庙里住了一段时间，泡吧看他们住一段时间比较安定，跟他们说，现在第一条规则就是大家每天要洗澡。
But there was only one shower. It was on the Prabhupada's apartment.
当时呢，因为他们那个房子很大一间，但是只有一个浴室啊，在泡吧住。
So not only did he convince them to take showers, but they had to go shower in his apartment, and Prabhupada had to stand in line and wait for shower.
所以呢，大家要洗澡，当然就必须排队。可是呢，变成 Prabhupada 也要跟他们一起排队洗澡。
Gradually, he started introducing things, but more than anything else, Prabhupada was simply giving Krishna consciousness to everyone.
所以呢，是泡巴后来慢慢把这些所谓规矩啊、规范守则一一的引进啊。但最开始呢，泡巴还是不管大家的背景状况怎么样，都是一直把 Krishna 知觉给讲出来、交代出来。
Many of them had been living in the storefront for quite some time.
那么他们那个是一个店面的租的店面呢，那很。多的成员当时已经住在那个店里面很久了。
And then all of a sudden one day, Srila Prabhupada put up a little notice on the wall.
然后他们那些已经在那个店住了很久，突然间有一天，Prabhupada在墙上贴了个纸条。
He said, "From now on, everyone who lives here, they have to follow these principles."
那Prabhupada就墙上写着，现在凡是住在这里的人要跟随这些规矩，点点点。
No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no reading.
没有这种非法性行为啦，没有酗酒啦，麻醉品啦，没有鱼肉蛋啦，没有非法性行为这些规矩。
Yena tena pakarana mana Krishna vesya. It's the duty of the spiritual master to somehow get others to think about Krishna, and everything else will come naturally afterwards.
所以呢，一个灵性导师的地位，他的责任就是不管怎么样，先让人们呢去记得、去想到 Krishna， 其他的就自然会发展出来。
Prabhupada was the greatest exponent of devotee care.
Prabhupada 自己本身就是照顾奉献者的这个源头，这个水源一样。
He knew how to care for everybody.
他非常清楚怎么样去关心、照顾到每个人。
He had such deep compassion.
他也是那么深刻的同情怜悯。
Because he could see the potential for Krishna consciousness in everyone.
因为他可以有这种眼光看到每个人的 Krishna 知觉的潜这个潜能。
And because he could see the potential for Krishna consciousness, he could bring out the best in everyone.
因为他有这种眼光看到每一个人的 Krishna 知觉的潜能，所以可以从他们身上把他最好的品质发扬出来。
Because one becomes attracted to Krishna, then automatically all good qualities will come.
因为一个人如果真正被 Krishna 所吸引呢，他所有好的品质会自然的发展出来。
Prabhupada used to quote one verse from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam so frequently.
Prabhupada 常常从《般若波罗蜜多》的第五篇里面的一节诗，常常把它引用出来。
Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavat chikinshina sabhaiguna stacha samasate sura harava bhakta simata punuman hamanona te nasati navatoki hitmas. He said all the good qualities of the demigods.Automatically become manifest in the person who engages in devotional service.
这里面这个就是说，一个人在从事真正的奉爱服务的时候，他就这个所有半神人的品质会从这个人身上展示出来。
In other words, when one becomes a devotee and understands that purpose of life is to serve Krishna, then automatically one develops all good qualities because these good qualities are naturally inherent in every living.In every living being.
一个人呢，如果被 Krishna 知觉所吸引，然后走到 Krishna 知觉那边去从事，然后他去了解他生命的目的呢，是为 Krishna 服务。自然而然呢，因为每个生物心中都是有 Krishna 知觉对 Krishna 服务的爱是自然存在的，所以被他吸引，这些品质会自然的展示发展出来。
And therefore, because Srila Prabhupada was such a perfect example of Krishna consciousness, he was.Self-satisfied.
因为 Prabhupada 是这么样完美圆满的 Krishna 知觉的人，所以他是自我满足的。
And being self-satisfied meant that he didn't want anything from anyone.
因为他自己就可以满足了，所以他不会去想要从任何人去那边要任何东西。
Except that they develop their faith and love in Krishna.
除了说其他的人，大家都是培养了对 Krishna 的爱跟信心。
He didn't need anything from anyone.
他根本不需要从任何人那边去 得到或是要什么。
Because he already had everything.
因为他已经有所有的一切了。
He had his relationship with Krishna.
因为他已经有跟 Krishna 的关系了。
He had his firm faith in Krishna.
而且他有对 Krishna 坚定的信心。
He had firm faith that if I simply serve Krishna and serve the instructions of my spiritual master, Krishna will give me whatever I need to serve him.
他有非常坚定强烈的信心，只要我跟随灵性导师，坚决跟随灵性导师的训示， Krishna 会满足我所需要的一切。
And when people were coming to assist him because he was so genuine, he would cry tears in his eyes thanking them for coming to help him serve the order of his Guru Maharaj.
因为 Prabhupada 是这样真实的，这样的言行一致的人呢，他这样完全的在服务 Krishna， 而且他自我满足，人们呢自然而然的走到他面前要帮助他，他非常的感动，都哭了掉眼泪，就很感谢这些人来为 Krishna 做服务。
He wasn't thinking that, oh, I've done so much for you, you have to do this for me.
他一点没有去想说，我为你做这么多，你应该给我这样回报。
No, he was saying, my spiritual master is so kind that he has sent you here to help me.Serve him.
那他是这样真心的说，哦，我灵性导师这么仁慈，把你派到我的面前来帮我一起做服务。
If you come in contact with such a person, you actually feel that this person doesn't want anything from me except to give me something.
所以如果你遇到这样的人，他根本不会从你身上想要去要任何东西，除了就是说他愿意把一些东西给你。
This was Prabhupada's method for spreading Krishna consciousness.
那这是 Prabhupada 在传扬 Krishna 知觉的方式。
And he didn't just do it theoretically. He taught us by his example.
啊 ，Prabhupada 不是只是说空谈言论而已，他是自己以身作则的这样示范给我们。
We all need an example.
我们所需要只是有一个模范。
Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, knows.How much we need an example. Therefore, although he's the Supreme Lord, he came as a devotee simply to teach us how to serve the Supreme Lord as a devotee.
主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 知道我们是多么的需要有一个所谓模范，所以他主 Chaitanya 自己亲自出现， 来展示出怎么样来服务别人，服务奉服务主这样的模范。
To speak about devotee care means we have to first recognize who is the greatest devotee who really cares.
啊，说到关心奉献者呢，我们首先必须要去，去判断谁是这伟大的奉献者，是真正在关心人的。
And how did he manifest his care for everyone?
啊，同时他是怎么样的去扩展这种，照顾啊，这种关心。
We should know.We should all know, anyone who comes in contact with this Krishna consciousness movement should know, how did Srila Prabhupada care for us?
我们都应该知道，每一个来到 Krishna 知觉人都应该要知道 Prabhupada 是怎么样的关心我们大家。
Because that's how the Krishna consciousness movement grew.
因为这是 Krishna 知觉成长的方式。
And that's how many people who came to the Krishna consciousness movement stayed.
那也是这个因素，就是说很多来到 Krishna 知觉的人会留下来。
Because they always felt that care.
因为那些人总感觉是被关心的。
It's not something external. Oh, that means, you know, you can just create an image of caring.
因为这种真切的关系不是说表面，就是说你可以创造一种你关心别人这种印象。
Sometimes devotees ask me about the devotee care system, as if the system is what cares.
有时候奉献者问我说，有没有什么样的机构或是系统是照顾奉献者的系统？
Put the system together, and then the devotees feel cared for.
就是说把这些系统把它连接起来，奉献者就觉得被照顾了。
Systems don't care.
一个系统不会去关心人的。
People care.
是人在关心。
If you don't care, just concerned about the system, then you can have the best system of devotee care, but nobody will feel cared for.
如果你根本不管，你不关心，你有多好的系统，多好的规矩教条，哎，奉献者不会觉得被关心。
And then everybody starts thinking about.Well, how to make the system, you know, put everything in place, this there, that there. It's not the system.
那结果呢，奉献者觉得不被关心啊，就有人开始说，那我要怎么样去安排这个系统，把这个部门，这个部分怎么样安排，怎么样去分配。但是呢，这个系统呢，他自己本身不会照顾别人，奉献者也不会觉得被关心，所以他没有效。
It's the caring.
重点是人类本身这种关心。
How does one care?
哎，一个人怎么样去关心呢？
Actually, this is my introduction to a verse from Bhagavatam.
希望这是我对佛经瓦谈师节的这种介绍开始而已。
This is verse I was thinking about when you asked me about devotee care.
这是当你们问我说来讲到关心奉献者，我想到的一个师节。
But I just want to introduce it.
我只是想介绍一下。
Prabhupada's the verse and Prabhupada's.Part of Prabhupada's commentary.
And Prabhupada 所说的师节，还有一部分是 Prabhupada 他的评注。
It's the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
啊，波切瓦坛第五篇里。
18th chapter, 9th verse.
第十八章第九节。
I'll just read it. Svasyastu vishvasya kalar prasidatam jayantu bhutani shivam mitodhiya manascha padram bhagatada hoksajay aveshitam no matir apihaitukiIt's a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj.
This is Prahlad Maharaj's 祷文，他的祈祷。
He says, "May there be good fortune throughout the universe." He says, "May there be." You want it?
Yeah,
I want water, but no. Do you want a Bhagavatam? How about if I give you this and I take my phone and I keep and I read the same thing? Would that help you?
Thank you. May there be good fortune throughout the universe. 愿这个宇宙充满了幸运啊！然后所有嫉妒的人呢都被安抚。
Excuse me one second, I have to find it here. I know I have it. Do you have a book? That's easier, right?
Fifth canto.
Fifth canto?
Chinese book.
I'm good. Oh, you have it. Okay. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified.
愿整个宇宙呢充满了幸运，愿所有嫉妒的人都被安抚。
May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga.
愿所有的生物借着练习奉爱服务而变得安静。
For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare.
因为在进行在接受奉爱服务的时候呢，他们才会去顾虑到彼此的这种益处。
Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Shri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him.
因此，让我们都来从事对至尊超然的主座服务，对 Krishna 服务，而且总是专注于想念的他。
The following verse describes a Vaishnava.
下面的诗节就描述了 Vaishnava.
Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet.
就像如愿树一样，一个 Vaishnava 是满足所有生物的任何人的愿望，就是那些托庇于他的人。
Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava.
Prahlad Maharaj 是一个典型的 Vaishnava.
He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous.
这个 Prahlad 他对所有的生物来祈祷，而不是对他自己。对所有生物呢，不管是那些仁慈的人呐、嫉妒的人呐，还有那些所谓调皮的人。
He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu.
他总是想着那一些。关于那些反抗调皮的人的这种益处，那就像一个父亲想着他调皮孩子的样子。
Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself.
Prahlad Maharaj 他没有去要求任何为他自己要求任何东西。
Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father.
他反而去向主来祈祷，来原谅那个恶魔的父亲。
This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe.
这是一个 Vaishnava 的态度，他总是去想着整个宇宙一切的福祉。
Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy, paramanimatsuranam.
所以圣典波切瓦坛还有波切瓦坛的这一些职责任务呢，是对于那些完全没有嫉妒的人所说的。
Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam, may all the envious persons be pacified.
因此 Prahlad Maharaj 就这样祈祷，就是说，愿所有嫉妒的人呢，他们的心里都被平抚安抚了。
Material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare.
物质世界是充满了嫉妒的人，如果一个人免于嫉妒的话呢，他可以在他各种社会上的一切事物都是可以自由解脱，而且可以去想到顾虑到别人的。
Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy manascha badram bhajatana hoksajay
任何人如果接受 Krishna 知觉，而且让自己专注于从事对主的服务，会清洗他心中所有一切嫉妒的这些污染。
Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisingadev to sit in our hearts.
因此我们必须来祈祷，请主 Nrisingadev 住在我们的心中。
We should pray by hearing Nrisingho Hridaye Nrisingha, let Lord Nrisingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities.
因此呢，所以呢，一个奉献者应该总是想着，像 Prahlad Maharaj 一样去想着。就是请主女心啊，得住在我们的心中的深处，杀掉我这一些坏品质的一切倾向，让我的心意呢变得干净，然后我可以很。平静，心平气和的来崇拜主， 而且呢可以给世界带来和平。
Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world.
就是让我的心意呢可以干净，然后我可以很平静来崇拜主，然后把这个和平带到全世界。
This is more to the commentary, but I just wanted to read this verse and speak just a little bit about it and we can end.
当然这四节里面下面有继续说，但是我特别是要提到这其中的一个部分来做一个开始介绍。
This verse, as he said, is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj.
这节诗是由 Prahlad Maharaj 说的。
And he's praying to Lord Nrsingadeva in this verse,for good fortune for everyone throughout the universe.
那 Prahlad 呢跟这个主女性的祈祷呢祈求对所有世界的人的这种益处和平。
First, he's praying for all envious persons to become pacified.
首先呢他所祈祷就是说让那些嫉妒人人的心意都得到平复。
Is it interesting?
这是很有趣吧。
Interesting point that Srila Prabhupada actually makes here in this verse.
那这里有一个很特别有趣的方法，在这诗节所说到的一点。
Srila Prabhupada in his word for word translation, he gives the translation for each word in before he gives the full translation.
在所以后面整篇的这个方法讲述的翻译之前呢，对梵文的字一个字一个字的翻译非常精确的把它翻译出来。
And his translation of the word kala.Means the envious.
其中一个字叫 color, 就是嫉妒的。
But right here, he also puts in parentheses right afterwards.
但是在后面他用刮胡来说明前面这个字。
Almost everyone.
刮着嫉妒的，然后几乎每一个人都是。
It's right there.Right in the bottom of the tongue.
哎，这是国际晚来说的啊！你说。
So, someone may think, well, this is for envious persons. I'm not included.
有些人说这是对那些嫉妒人说的，不是对我，不是不关我的事。
But Prabhupada makes it clear, it's almost everyone.
但Prabhupada写得很清楚，就几乎每个人都是嫉妒的。
Because the process of becoming free from envy is a very purifying process.
因为事实上呢，要净化这嫉妒的程序，这个程序是非常有净化力量的。
And that envious propensity is there within everyone, this as we said, because there are bad qualities that are there that need to become purified.
因为这嫉妒的倾向的品质呢，几乎都是深深在那里。因为先前说到，我们要去净化这些坏的品质。
Sometimes we may not even realize that how these propensities are there.
有时候我们甚至没有去觉悟到这个倾向是深深的藏在那里。
We're so covered, we don't realize that there's envy, there's greed, there's lust, there's... because we just think that that's natural. It's the way I am.
那个，因为我们被蒙蔽的这么厉害，我们没有去发觉我们这一些行为是贪婪啦、物欲啦、嫉妒啦这一些，但是我们认为我就是这样子。
But the process of bhakti yoga is a very purifying process.
然后另外bhakti yoga 的程序是非常有净化力量的。
And the way the holy name and Krishna's pastimes.Heard from Srimad Bhagavatam, the way they purify the heart is that they bring these impurities gradually to the surface.
那像这种聆听念诵圣名啊，讲述聆听 Krishna 的这些逍遥时光啊，去聆听佛前瓦坛啊，是很有净化力量，会渐渐把我们心中这些不好的品质把它挖出来，浮到表面。
The example is given just like when a person is making ghee.
这个就好像一个人他在炼制这个酥油的过程。
The process of making ghee is you put butter, a certain amount of butter on the flame, on a very low flame, and then gradually it melts, and then gradually you see some of the impurities start coming to the surface.
那这个在炼制这个酥油 ghee 的过程，就是说你放一定量的奶油在一个锅子，然后用非常小的火，慢慢的这样把它温温的炼出来。渐渐你会看到这些奶油里面不纯的东西又渐渐浮上来。
But when you first look at the budget, it just looks like one homogeneous object.
所以像我一般看到一块奶油，就好像一个是说里面成分是非常均匀，没有杂质的。
But the catalyst is the flame. When you put it on the flame, then gradually it melts, and then you start seeing, hey, there's something inside this. It's starting to come to the surface.
然后这中间的催化剂就是这个火，当一点火慢慢去把它温烤的时候呢，你会看到这个奶油中间已经有一些东西是不纯，一些杂质已经看出来了。
And if you want to get pure ghee, you have to wait till everything comes to the surface, and then with your ladle, you start to lift it off and separate it.
那如果你要得到纯粹的 ghee, 非常纯、精纯的 ghee 的话，你就要用很有耐心，慢慢的用这个小火，很小的火，让它慢慢把这个不纯、这个杂质慢慢浮到上面，然后一层又一层把它刮掉，一层一层把这个浮出来的杂质刮掉。
So the process of bhakti yoga is like putting our hearts in the flame.
所以奉在bhakti yoga 的程序，就好像我们的心呢放到这种温火去烤。
And when but our hearts become exposed.To that which is pure.
当我们心被所谓被曝光了，曝在那纯粹的物质的前面。
Which is Krishna's pure holy name.
比方就是说 Krishna 的纯粹的圣名。
Which is Krishna's pure devotees.
还有就是在 Krishna 纯粹的奉献者面前。
The result is the impurities start coming to the surface.
然后就是像这样火慢慢把它煮起来了，然后它里面的杂质就开始浮出来，我们里面的不好的品质就会开始出现到表面了。
And as they come to the surface, we begin to see. Oh, yes, I didn't realize that was there, but now I'm starting to see. Yeah.
当被烤了、煮了一段时间的杂质浮出来，你就说：“哎呀，我不知道啊，我自己有这些杂质啊，怎么这样子？”
There are different types of impurities. They're called anarthas.
那杂质有很多种，那这一般名词叫做 anartha， 那些不该要的东西。
One is called jiva hinsa, which is envious of other living beings.
有一种叫 jiva hinsa， 就是说嫉妒其他生物。
Another is pratishta, is pratishta is a desire for recognition.
一种是 pratishta， 就是说他想要被别人认出来，他自己懂。
I want to be recognized. Why is that person getting recognition? It's not coming to me.
就是我要人家看到我啊！为什么那人家看到他没看到我？
Another is puja. It's a desire to be worshipped.
还有一个是 puja， 就是说想要被人家崇拜。
Another is kutinata. It's finding fault.
一种 kutinata 就是去挑毛病，找人家的这些缺点啊。
Kutinata means we become so expert at seeing the faults of others. If we see them in everybody else, then we start to think, I don't have any.
Kutinata 可以发展到这么好的阶段，就是说看那么容易就看到别人一点点小小的错，然后就觉得我自己都没有这些错。
Because we see them in everyone else, so therefore we start to think, hey, wait a minute, I'm pretty good.
因为我看到每个人都有错啊，都不好啊，所以我觉得自己很好。
But actually, a sadhaka is one who first learns how to go within himself and look within himself and control himself.
所以一个 sadhaka 在练习规范守则的人，就是说要练习他首先先往自己内在去看，去检查自己，看看自己里面怎么样。
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says a sadhaka first controls himself and then he controls the world.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 就是说，一个 sadhaka 练习规范的人呢，他首先先控制自己感官，然后他可以控制全世界。
He quotes the verse Vacho Vegam Manasakota Vegam Jiva Vegam Dwarapasta Vegam. That anyone who controls his mind, and his tongue, his belly, and his genitals, and anger, and the urge to speak, he can make disciples all over the world.
所以呢，这个在教会的甘露里面说到了，一个人可以控制他的心意，控制他的舌口，控制他的肚腹，控制他的生殖器官，控制他的语言，控制他的行为。这样的人完全控制了之后，他可以控制全世界。
So a sadhaka is somebody who recognizes that these unwanted things are here within us, and I want to get rid of them.
所以萨德卡的练习规范守则人呢，他首先会做到，就是说他自己发现自己有这些杂质，然后先从自己去改变，自己去变干净。
So when one takes to the process of bhakti, then the result is that these anarthas, these unwanted things, they gradually come to the surface.
所以一个在接受这个奉爱的人呢，他会首先呢，这个杂质会浮到表面上，这些不该要的东西会浮出来。
And a sadhaka is somebody who recognizes that my propensity for these qualities are there, therefore I need to work on myself.
那这个sadhaka就发现了自己有这一些不该要的东西，不该要的品质，然后他会觉得，首先应该从自己身上做起，去去除那些杂质。
Actually, there's an interesting story in this connection.
事实上，在这个部分有一个很有趣的故事。
I'll tell the story. It's about Raghunath Das Goswami. It's one of our acharyas in our.
这个故事是 Raghunath Das Goswami 是我们其中的一个 acharya 之前的一个 acharya.
It's a long story, but I'll make it short.
所以故事本来很长，我把它简短的说一下。
I'll bring it right to the point.
我会把它重点讲出来。
Raghunath Das was the son of a very wealthy landowner.His father's name was Govardhan Majumdar, and he was a tax collector, very wealthy. And thousands of rupees he would collect every month. His
father's
Govardhan Majumdar. And Raghunath was the only son.
那 Raghunath 是他唯一的儿子。
And his father, being very wealthy, always wanted the best for his son.
那因为父亲也是这么有钱啊，总想说给孩子最好的东西。
And he would make all different kinds of arrangements for his son.
那他会为孩子准备所有一切。
He would make sure that his son never saw anything bad.
他安排这么好的情况，就是他儿子永远不会看到不好的事情。
In the palace that they lived in,that they always, he always had, what do they call those things to carry people?
Palanquin.
He had always palanquin to carry his son, waiting for him at every one of the exits.
他家是像宫殿一样的，他爸爸呢不想让他吃苦，也不让看到什么，就是家里的每个门呢都有轿子准备好，他要到另外一个房间，另外一个什么，都有轿子等着抬他。
He wanted his son to have the best of everything.
所以他这么有钱，当然也绝对希望他孩子有最好最好的。
So one time, Govardhan, his father heard that a great sage had come. His name was Haridas Thakur.
有一次他的父亲就听到他爸爸说呢，有一个伟大的圣人 Haridas Thakur 来了。
And Haridas Thakur was actually the spiritual master.Of his spiritual master, who was Balaram Acharya.
那事实上 ，Haridas Thakur 是他自己这个他爸爸灵性导师的灵性导师。
So when Govardhan heard that Haridas Thakur was staying nearby in Balaram Acharya's home, he was thinking, "I want to have my son get a blessing from the saint."
所以呢，这个父亲 Govardhan 呢，他听到呢，这个 Haridas Thakur 住在他灵性导师Balaramji 那家里那附近，所以他希望他自己儿子得到 Haridas Thakur 的祝福。
Because he thought it would be very auspicious for his son to get a blessing from such a saintly person as Haridas Thakur.
因为他想呢，如果自己儿子可以得到 Haridas Thakur 的祝福的话，那是非常吉祥的。
So he asked Balaramacharya.Can you please take Raghunath Das to Haridas Thakur and ask him for a blessing?
所以呢，他就问自己老师了 ，Balaramacharya， 可不可以把自己的儿子 Raghunath 带到这个 Haridas Thakur 那面前给他祝福
？Now Raghunath would never go anywhere without security guards.
Raghunath 从小就都被保护得很好，到哪儿都一定有所谓保镖啦，有轿子啦。
Personal servants.
还有旁边跟随的仆人一起。
So when he asked Balaramacharya to bring Raghunath Das, he also arranged for all of them to accompany Raghunath Das to where Haridas Thakur.
所以当然呢，他要儿子去见这 Haridas Thakur 一样啊，所以他安排了这轿子啦，这个守卫、护卫啊、仆人啊，一路要跟着这 Balaramji 一起到 Haridas Thakur 那边去。
And because he wanted to get a real good benediction for his son.He prepared a whole cartload of coconuts to bring to the Haridas Thakur.
那因为他想说他儿子要出门，所以这个爸爸
准备好像一整套的这一些该要的所有的东西啊，要去见哈里达斯塔库，就好像驾装一牛车一样。
Valuable cloths and jewels and wealth and these things. When the Haridas Thakur sees what they bring for him, certainly he'll give my son a great benefit.
这个有钱的爸爸的想法自然是这样，哎，我儿子出门要给他最好的车子啊，最好的衣服啦，一切珠宝啦，我家里能亮出来都亮出来，就这样 一牛车几牛车带过去。他想说，阿尔达斯塔库如果看到我啊，我儿子带了这么多富丽东的东西，一定会给他很好的祝福。
So, Balaramacharya brought Raghunath Das along with a cart full of opulent gifts and all the guards and the servants to where Haridas Thakur was.
所以呢，这巴拉拉基就带着这个 Raghunath 的，包括他家里附带来的这个牛车的财富啦、衣服啦、黄金啦、珠宝，还有一些要给这个 Haridas 的礼物。
And he approached Haridas Thakur and said, "Oh, this is Raghunath Das. He has brought this cart of gifts on behalf of his father for you."
So Balaramji just in Haridas Thakur's 面前说啊，这是 Raghunath 代表他父亲呢啊，拿带了一车的东西要给你的礼物。
And he's asked me to ask you to please give a benediction to his son.
同时，他请求我来要求你对他的儿子来给他祝福。
So Haridas didn't even look at the cart. He wasn't interested.
Haridas.
These things couldn't attract him at all.
那些东西一点都不吸引他。
And he said he agreed to give a benediction to Raghunath.
但是他同意给 Raghunath Das 给他一个祝福。
But Balaramacharya knew that Haridas Thakur is not going to give the kind of benediction that Govardhan is going to like.
但 Balaramacharya 他知道呢。这个 Haridas Thakur 给这个 Raghunath 的祝福，这个他的这个小孩的爸爸一定是不喜欢的那种祝福。
And when Haridas gave his benediction, Balaramacharya made a loud noise so that nobody else could hear it. Made a loud noise, he sneezed very loudly.
Oh, sneeze. 当这个Haridas Thakur 要给这个 Raghunath 祝福的时候呢，这 Balaramacharya 故意做那个打呼啦，鼻涕的声音很大声，吵得别人听不到这个祝福是什么。
And Haridas gave the benediction, "May you renounce the whole world."
那这个这么大的声音，但是 Haridas Thakur 直接对 Raghunath 说：“我祝福你弃绝世界的一切。
”That was his benediction.
那这就是他的祝福。
So Balaramacharya then brought Raghunath Das back to his father.
对 ，Balaramacharya 就把这个小孩让 Raghunath Das 带回他爸爸的。
His father merely asked the servant, "So did Haridas Thakur give a benediction to my son?"
那这个父亲就问这个孩子的仆人，就说啊 ，Haridas 有没有给我儿子祝福啊？
But he said something, but we couldn't hear what he said.
这个仆人说。他是有说了什么，可是我们听不清楚，听不到。
He asked the others, "Then what benediction did he give him?"
这个父亲又问其他的仆人说，他到底给我儿子祝福了什么
？Did you give him the cart full of gifts?
啊，而且问儿子说，你有把那一车子礼物都送给他了吗
？No, he wasn't interested.
可是他一点都没兴趣。
So he was trying to find out. Finally, he went to Balaramacharya and asked him.What benediction did Haridas Thakur give my son?
所以这个父亲东问西问，问不清楚，问不出来，就直接去问那个 Balaramacharya， 就说啊 ，Haridas Thakur 到底给我儿子祝福了什么
Balaramacharya said to Govardhan Rajamadar, he said he gave the benediction that your son will possess the whole world.
The Balaramacharya 就这个 Haridas Thakur 呢，祝福你儿子可以拥有全世界。
And then Govardhan was, "Wow, that's ecstatic! I possess so much land. My son's going to possess the whole world."
这个父亲的 Govardhan 就这么高兴，我已经这么富有了，可是我儿子会拥有全世界，太棒了！他就非常的欢喜。
Excuse me. He didn't say that he possessed. I made a mistake. He said that he will control the whole world.
对不起他没有说他拥有全世界，而说你儿子呢可以控制全世界。
But Govardhan took it as the same. Oh, he'll control the whole world. I control this tract of land. My son's going to control the whole world.
Govardhan 呢就把这个当作是一样的这种特别，就是说啊，我只能控制我这一片地，但是我儿子可以控制全世界。
But what was the hidden meaning of what Balaramacharya said?
那 Balaramacharya 他所说的有什么隐藏的意义？
Is what he said was the truth.
当然，他说的也是真的。
It was the truth because Raghunath Das, if he renounced the whole world, it means there's nothing in this world that would ever be able to control him.
这个是真实的，是为什么呢？当他弃绝全世界呢？就是说，这世界上的任何东西，没有任何东西可以控制他。
One who actually is truly renounced cannot be controlled by anything material.
所以，一个真正弃绝的人呢，他是不可能被任何物质的东西所控制。
Just as Haridas Thakur couldn't be controlled by the cartload of gifts.
就像 Haridas Thakur 一样呢，这一整车的黄金财宝送给他，他一点也没有兴趣。
Because he had control of his mind, he had control of his senses, control of his words.
因为他已经控制他的心意，控制他的感官，控制他的言语，控制他自己的一切。
Because he learned how to conquer himself, then he could conquer the world.
因为他已经学到了怎么样去征服自己，才能征服全世界。
Because nothing in the world could conquer him.
因此呢。世界的任何一切是不可能去征服他。
And this is the benediction that Raghunath Das Goswami got, also from Haridas Thakur.
那这也是 Raghunath Das 他从 Haridas Thakur 那边得到的祝福。
He lived a very renounced life.
所以他后来一生呢的生活是非常弃绝的。
And nothing in this world could control him.
因此呢，世界上的任何东西不可能控制他的。
Of course, he was controlled by Krishna.
当然，他是被 Krishna 所控制。
But that's not of this world.
当然 ，Krishna 不是属于这物质世界的。
So in the same way, we have to understand that there are many things that are still within our hearts that control us.
所以我们必须要了解，其实我们心中有很多东西还在控制着我们。
And until we actually learn how to control these things within ourselves, we should be very careful about trying to control others.
因此呢，我们。除非我们学到自己怎么样控制自己的这一切内在的一切，否则你不要认为你想要去控制别人。
Prahlad Maharaj is saying in this verse, "May all envious persons become pacified."
因为 Prahlad Maharaj 就是说，愿祝福所有嫉妒人都被平复、被安抚。
May they become Krishna conscious by practicing Bhakti Yoga.
而且愿祝福他们呢，来练习。奉爱瑜伽而得到心平气和。
Because only by practicing bhakti yoga can they actually think of the welfare of others.
除非是真实在实践奉爱瑜伽，否则呢，你没有办法去想到说其他人的利益或世界上的这个利益。
How can one think of the welfare of others if still one still wants something from others?
假如一个人还想要去从别人那边得到东西，他怎么可能去关心到所谓其他人的利益？
But a Vaishnava is so self-satisfied because he has everything he needs in his relationship with Krishna.
一个 Vaishnava 是这么自我满足，因为他已经有跟 Krishna 的关系了，他所要的一切 Krishna 都给他了，他已经是很满足了。
This is what we learn from Srila Prabhupada's example.
这是我们从 Prabhupada 自己的这个模范，我们去学到的。
This is why we have to know what Srila Prabhupada's example was.
这也是为什么我们要去知道，我们应该要知道 Prabhupada 他的模范是什么。
This is the gold standard.
这是黄金般的标准。
Srila Prabhupada set the bar.
Prabhupada 把这个所谓的门槛立起来了。
He set the gold standard for caring for devotees.
这 Prabhupada 立下了这个黄金规则，怎么样去照顾奉献者。
He set the gold standard for caring for other living beings.
这个黄金的规则，怎么样去照顾其他的生物。
If we strictly follow his example, his instructions.
那我们就是应该很严格遵循他的模范，他的训示。
Then we can begin to think of the welfare of others.
当我们这样做的时候，我们才有办法去想到其他人的利益。
And devotee care will automatically follow.
在这样的情况下，奉献者的照顾就会自然的产生出来。
This is the best devotee care system.
这是最好的照顾奉献者的系统。
b best devotee care system was already taught by Srila Prabhupada.
最好的照顾奉献者的系统已经被 Prabhupada 教导出来了。
We're not introducing anything new.
我们没有所谓介绍任何新的东西。
He's already given this to us the formula.
Prabhupada 已经给我们所有的这些所谓方程式。
And not only has he given us the formula how to care for devotees, but how to care for everyone.
所以呢，不只是说他给我们怎么样照顾奉献者这个公式，而且给我们怎么样照顾。一切所有人的。
So these are some of the things that we can learn from studying Srila Prabhupada's life and his teachings.
所以这是我们可以从研习 Prabhupada 的生活，还有 Prabhupada 的教导可以学到的。
And I say with confidence that this is something Srila Prabhupada wanted his followers to follow and to continue to give to others.
而且我可以很有信心的说，这是 Prabhupada。要我们来做的，要我们跟随的，而且要我们去给别人的东西。
Okay, any questions?
任何问题？
Yeah, Miles, thank you, Ashley, for a fascinating talk. I remember in the Hare Krishna 40 years of chant and change.He talks about the different phases of the development of ISKCON. And I think the first phase he referred to, he compared it to a balloon where the emphasis was getting as many people inside as possible and growing the movement like a balloon getting bigger and bigger without really much emphasis on devotee care. It was getting them into the movement and once they were in, not letting them get out again.
You're talking about Prabhupada?
No. Okay. About, yeah, I mean, the book, this is from 40 years of chant and change.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. I think it's predominantly talking about the development of ISKCON. Well, it talks about worldwide, but he's specifically looking at the UK.
Okay.
But he's not talking about specifically about Srila Prabhupada, but the growth of ISKCON as a whole, as a movement.
Okay.
And he talks about, like a balloon, just getting people into the movement and then keeping them inside. And then, of course... Once we get, and I think that was certainly the case when I first got involved in the late 70s and the first few years of the 1980s. Money was getting people inside the temples, of course. And then we went through the next phase where we had all the problems of the 80s when a lot of people left, including myself. And others just left the temple but then lived outside as family, grihasthas with normal jobs and so on. And that was like the second phase.And I think now, you know, we're moving into a third phase of greater sophistication beyond that, perhaps. I was delighted when I attended the ILS 2 years ago with the emphasis on devotee care that was discussed then. Getting to the point of my question to you, Maharaj, looking at ISKCON as a whole, of course, different temples, different areas are better than others in this respect.Looking at ISKCON as a whole, do you think that we have really developed in real devotee care on the ground as opposed to wonderful words and ideas, but actually implementing them on the ground? Do you see a great improvement in that in the last 10, 12 years since you wrote your book?
然后发展到一个阶段，就想把人留住。那他们现在，他后来没有继续留，他变成居士，就住在外面。然后呢，所以他有想到关于在 ISKCON 来讲的话呢，如果像 Maharaj 刚刚讲的，要关心奉献者这些情况啊，是不是如果像刚刚提到 Prabhupada 最开始也就是只是关心奉献者。但是没有特别去讲这些规范守则，可是后来还是有规范守则。那么呢，在 ISKCON 里面，如果大家是以 ISKCON 为一个中心、一个庇护的话呢， 有没有办法很实质的去建立起照顾奉献者这样的团体，这样的社区发展出来？
对。Before I answer the question, just a short question to you. Are you referring to the type of devotee care I spoke about today, or are you talking about the type of devotee care that most people think about when they hear the word devotee care?
Yeah, I mean, I was really thinking about more than ILS. Devotee care that was discussed in ILS.
And ILS.
Organization.
Structure.
Yeah. Systems.
Systems.
Logical. 麦弗沙就是说讲到他在 ILS 听到的一些部分，包括他自己以前在英国的接触到的团体，所以他把马尔这个情况问是指马尔讲的书呢，还是只是这个标题所想到的广泛的奉献照顾奉献者。
I have to answer your question honestly because I don't know the way I can answer.
马尔说我会诚实的，我只能很诚实的回答你，我只能用这个方式，没有别的方法在做怎么样的解释。
And、honestly, I to objectively say that I have the answer to that question, I can't really say that I have an objective view on the world. Because you asked around the world.
因为他问的是非常广泛的现象。那马尔说，他很客观的来说，如果说马尔的立足点，他没有办法很客观的说全世界的情况，整个 ISKCON 全世界各地区的情况，没办法一概而言。
Because although I travel in many places in the world,
虽然我到世界各地很多地方也去旅行
，I generally limit myself to those places where they're taking care of the boys.
我一般去住的地方呢，都是他们会照顾奉献者的地方。
Because I don't see any future to go there if they're not.
If they're not.
I don't see any future to go to those places if they're not taking care of the devotees.
因为我不会去那一些不照顾奉献者的地方，因为不照顾奉献者的那一些地方，他们没有未来。
嗯，对。
不关心奉献者的地方就没有将来。
I just.I'm getting older. I need to invest my energies. And I need to feel that this, they're going to take care of devotees. Otherwise, why should I? So I try to focus in those places where I feel that they're taking care of devotees. And therefore, that's not an objective answer to your question. Because there are some places where I feel they're not taking care of devotees.
因为我觉得客观的来讲，我没有办法所谓客观的对全世界的 ISKCON 的各地区所谓客观的概括性的来说，因为我去的地方呢是会照顾奉献者，有照顾奉献者的地方，因为事实上在 ISKCON 里面有些地方他们是不关心其他奉献者，不照顾奉献者的，那我已经用了很多的精神要去照顾奉献者，我再去那个地方他们根本不关心奉献者，我去的话我的心力会被浇掉啊，就被扭掉了。
And with that said, there are even some places that I do have to go regularly where I'm not satisfied with the level that they're taking care of devotees.
但同时客观的来说，我去的那些地方也不是说我都很满意，因为实际上有一些他们虽然照顾奉献者，可是还没有到达我的期望，他们照顾奉献者的这种深度跟这个情况还不到达我所期望的。
And generally, if they don't listen to me, I just don't go back for you.
我一般就是说，他们假如我说了，他们不听，我以后也不再去了。
But that's one part of the way of answering the question.
这也是我回，这是回答的一个方式或是一部分。
But there is another more positive.Answer, and that is, I am definitely seeing and hearing amongst many of those with whom I closely associate a growing concern of the need to implement care.
当然了，回头过来说，事实上在我们所交往的奉献者之中的对话里面，他们也表达出深刻的感触，就是说在奉献者之间的关心跟照顾是的确需要发展出来，怎么要去关心奉献者，要去照顾奉献者，是极大的 ISKCON 里面内在的需要。
And it's much more than I've ever heard it before.
而且现在奉献者那些他们谈出来那种急切性，是我以前从来没有听过他们这么急切的想要关心奉献者是必要的。
I've had many conversations with many senior leaders on this topic, therefore I know they're thinking this way.
那我也是跟很多所谓 ISKCON 里面很多资深的管理者、年长的管理者谈到，他们真的表达出是真的要发展 ISKCON 里面真的要照顾奉献者的这种品质存在。
And with some of those people, they've asked me to please come and to help.
那其中有一些资深的那些管理者，甚至要求我到他们的地区来帮忙奉献者，去发展怎么样来照顾奉献者，关心奉献者。
But I don't travel that much globally, so I don't have an objective. I really don't travel that much globally.
但是我没有全世界旅行走透透，所以我没有办法完全客观对所有 ISKCON 的整个概况做一个结论或描述。
I hear a lot of talk, but I'm not sure what's happening on the ground.
我当然听到了。他们很多人都在说，可是我不知道实质上他们各地的情况实际上是怎么样。